Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So many white guys.
So many.
So many white guys. So what?
How much whiteness? All over the place. God damn. So many white guys. So many white guys.
Welcome to So Many White Guys from WNYC Studios. I'm your hostess with, okay, I want to say the mostest, but honestly, I'm, you know, barely half full. All right, people, I'm Phoebe Robinson, Joni Mitch, What's the Story, Morning Glory.
You're the host with some.
Yeah, I'm the host with some. That's spilling out along the way to almost empty. Tell me what's going on with you, Joan. What's happening?
I went to the Westminster Dog Show.
I saw that on Instagram. You know, you see it on TV, but you don't actually realize that you can attend that.
No.
And what is it like? Is it just like a lot of white people in cardigans and, you know, pennies in their loafers? Like, what's the scene?
It was divided between, like, ecstatic older white people.
Yes.
And then ecstatic younger white people.
Yes.
I mean, it's a genuine love. Like, you love sports.
Yes.
I don't like sports. And Westminster was, like, what made me understand what people get out of sports.
Okay. But you do understand, and this is no shade to any of the dogs, but I will say a little shih tzu is not the same as LeBron James dunking on, you know, someone who's 6'11".
Well, you didn't see Bane, the Sussex Spaniel.
The Sussex's cheerful and affectionate nature is demonstrated by his almost constant wagging tail.
Excuse me, I don't know. Can you please inform us about Bean?
Bean is the number one Sussex this year, and he will be a crowd favorite, I'm sure.
Oh my God, Bean was this, like, teeny tiny dog who's really long and low to the ground, and he looked like a caterpillar, and he was the crowd favorite, and people at MSG started chanting for Bean.
The crowds don't steal out their favorites.
He's the LeBron James.
Okay.
Of the Westminster Dog Show.
Did Bean go to Miami and then get booed, and there's video footage of people burning his, you know, dog treats that he left behind because he wanted to go and win a few championships with Dwayne Wade and then come back to Cleveland and have everyone be nice to him again? Did Bean go through that?
No, but Bean could stand on his hind legs.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that play.
Oh, boy.
And people were like, is that cheating? Because all of the other dogs had to stay perfectly still. But I feel like people gave Bean, like, extra room to work with because everyone loved him so much.
So there was a Watergate controversy at this dog show.
Totally, man. The papers are going to come out. When Bean won best in his group, I turned to my boyfriend and said, this makes me believe in America again. Yeah. Phoebe, it was February 13th.
It was Black History Month, and, you know, Bean is darker coded. You know what? I'm hijacking this. This is for Black History Month.
Yes.
This is for Thurgood Marshall.
Yes.
This is for all the members currently of Destiny's Child and also the ones who were fired. It's for all of them.
Are you appropriating the Westminster Dog Show?
I am. How do you like it, white people? How do you like it? Huh? This is for the cast of Moesha now, okay?
Moesha. Well, Phoebs.
Y'alls.
Let's go to commersh.
Y'alls.
Carnegie Hall is one of the most famous concert venues in the world.
The first time I walked on the stage, I felt like my feet were moving, but they were not touching the floor.
Join us for If This Hall Could Talk, a new podcast that explores the history of this iconic landmark through the unique items in its archives. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and together we'll explore how the past shaped the culture we live in today. Listen to If This Hall Could Talk wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, podheads. Hey, booze and bays. Welcome back to So Many Schweit Guys. Y'all, today's interview is cute as fuck. Honestly, if you know when you see, like, what's a cute thing? Like the Paddington Bear movies? And you're like, how can I get next to Hugh Grant and have him talk to me while I'm wearing a raincoat? This interview is that fucking cute. The point is, today, I am chatting with someone who's on the come up, y'all. Okay? She all over our TV screens. All right? She's all over, you know, freaking profiles done about her wearing fabulous designer clothes. Some that she owns, some that she probably is wearing alone and then returning because, you know what? She's a smart fiscal bitch. Okay? I'm talking about Miss Yvonne Orji. Meow, 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 meow. For the past 2 years, Yvonne Orji has been one of the stars of the hit HBO series Insecure. It's phenomenal. Y'all, she's not just an actress, okay? She's also killing it in the stand-up game because last year she spent a little bit of time, just a skosh, opening for, I don't know, a legendary comedian by the name of Chris freaking Rock. All right, so she's got acting on lock. Boom. She's got stand-up on lock. Ba-boom. Guess what else she got on lock? Them degrees, y'all. That's right, I said degrees. Not 98 degrees like the band, just two, okay? Because she has two freaking degrees in public health. She's also developing her own television series for her to star in, executive produced by Oprah Winfrey and David Oyelowo. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Sorry, David. That was so fucking rude. Anyway, besides all the stuff she's doing, killing in the entertainment industry, she's also an advocate for POCs. She has amazing hair and she's a woman of faith. So close your legs and open your prayer books, y'all. And let's get to this episode. Ow. Miss Yvonne Orji.
Yay. Hi, guys.
You have been in it for a minute, and it's been a crazy, amazing 2 year, like, skyrocket ride. Before I get to that, actually, you went to college
with your brother,
with my brother, George Washington University. Yeah. He was a senior, you were a freshman,
Phil.
Yeah,
I made the connection when you were working on a show,
yeah,
and you were like, "This is my brother," and I was like, "You look so familiar." He was like, "Yeah, my name is Phil." I was like, Phil? Phil Robinson? And I was like, you went to GW? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God. Like, and that was the day I made the connection.
Yeah. So it's really cool to like go way back a little bit to now like be in the same room with you. And like, you know, I think because you are so naturally funny, people are probably like, you like walked out the womb.
I sauteed out. Yeah. I did a Naomi Campbell walk out of the runways of my mother's womb.
Yeah, but you know, you didn't just like wake up and instantly know that comedy was your calling.
No.
You went to George Washington and studied organic science, chemistry?
I studied sociology undergrad, double minored in bio and public health because overachiever. And then I got my master's in public health because immigrant.
You obviously have a level of depth. So what for you made you make that switch? Because that is quite a switch.
Yeah, I say Jesus. That was the only thing that could have ever made me bold enough to stand up to my immigrant African parents and to be like, hey guys, so I'm going to crush your immigrant dreams, dismantle your soul, and possibly not be able to give you any social security insurance, but I want to make people laugh for a living. It only had to be like the voice of God to tell me like, hey, BT Dubs, I have other plans for you. And that's exactly what happened. I entered a pageant in 2006. And I wasn't even like a pageant girl, but I'm just like, I was a tomboy. Like, pageant? I don't know nothing about pageants. I wear sweatpants, you know, like comfortably.
Yeah.
And I remember like going to Macy's and opening up my first credit card so I could get a Macy's account and buy
God,
a dress.
That's yeah. so cute.
Because I was like, how does one do this? And then 2 weeks before the pageant, they called and said, well, what's your talent? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just bought a dress. I thought that was enough. Isn't there like a final question or something? And so I did the only logical thing I needed to do, which was to like get down on my knees and pray. And I was like, hey, God, I need a lifeline here. Like I legitimately took out a loan for a dress. Help. And all I heard back from Holy Spirit was, do comedy. And so I was like, God, I don't, like, I was bullied as a kid, so the fear of rejection was still very real.
Yeah.
The thought of getting up on stage and doing something where the first thing that could happen if you're not funny is get rejected, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God, you got the wrong chick. Like, nah, I'm still healing. And he was like, great. What else do you have? I said, you know I ain't got nothing else. He's like, okay, well, either you're going to trust me or you're not. This is legitimately the conversation I had with Jesus. And so I was like, all right, man, God, like, you know what? If it fails, it's your fault. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, and it's also kind of like cool to put it on God. Like, right. Put it on God. Like, if it fails, I blame you.
That's the takeaway. If you listen to this episode, put it on God.
Hashtag put it on God. I also feel like that's like a sauce. Like, and if you like go to get some chicken, like, yeah. Can I get the put it on God seasoning? That's,
you're not going to be able to handle it. You it's going to be too hot.
It's going to be too hot. You got to put it on God. Why is this happening? God is somewhere like, don't put it on me, guys. I don't know what she's talking about. So anyway, I was just like, hey, I'll take the next 2 weeks to figure out what's funny being Nigerian in America, having this dual lens, if you will, and had a 5-minute set. But I was so nervous. I did not leave room for laughter. I wrote my set like a script and memorized it because to this day, my biggest fear is like forgetting what comes next, forgetting my lines.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the end of it, people came up to me and were like, oh my God, you're so funny. Do you do weddings and like baby showers? I was like, yep. And bar mitzvahs. I do it all. Like I host everything. And I ended up starting to host like literally anything with a mic. I did host a baby shower, a bridal shower. I hosted everything.
That's exciting. But that's what you gotta do. Like you either you start hosting random like gigs like that. In the beginning, it's like I feel like that's where you earn your chops. You know what I mean? So that you can be at the point that you are now where you're, you know, one of the openers for Chris Rock, which is I feel like every stand-up comedian's dream. So that's really amazing. And I heard in an interview, it was his girlfriend turned him on to you.
Yeah, it was Megalyn, also a Nigerian. She came and saw me perform and on my IG was like, at Chris Rock, I think you should have at Yvonne Orji on the Total Breakout Tour. And I was like,
that's so cool.
I don't think that's how this works. Cut to, we happened to be in Miami at the same time a couple weeks later. And she's like, oh my God, come have lunch or dinner with Chris and I. And I was like, guys, I'm leaving this conference. I'm going to have, like, I was there for a conference. I was like, I'm going to have dinner with Chris Rock. Like, who does that? So, you know, and then, of course, on the Uber right there, I'm like, what do I say to Chris? Do I start being funny? You know, don't be funny. Just be yourself. And it was just, like, the most stressful Uber ride. And I was like, you know what? Just be yourself. He knows he's Chris Rock. He knows he's dope. So just be chill. And then, like, 3 weeks after that dinner, my agents call or my reps call and they're like, Chris Rock wants you to open up for him in Atlanta. And I was like, what the what?
That's so cool.
It was so crazy and so amazing that he would trust me with that. And then like a couple, like 2 months after that, I get the dates for the Dolby Theater in LA, Madison Square Garden, and Barclays in New York.
That's so cool.
I was like, this is crazy.
So what was it like being on a stage like that? Because that is really, you know, that is Super Bowl of stand-up comedy for sure. It's like, so what is going through your mind in those moments leading up to walking out on stage?
It was a moment because it's like I didn't even know to dream for this moment. You know what I mean? Like there's some dreams that I'm like, oh, this is surely a dream and I want to accomplish that. This was like a bonus,
right?
This was like, you believe in me, you trusted me, you like, you trusted me with your stage. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have trusted, you didn't have to trust me. You could trust anybody. And like, and I don't even know if he'd seen any comedy of mine. Like, I know he'd watched Insecure, but like, every actor that says they're a comic is not like a true stand-up.
Yeah.
But he was just like, okay, like, it's, if Meg says so.
Yeah.
And then to do Barclays the last night of the tour on 2017 with 16,000 people there and him saying, we're gonna do a lot more. We're gonna do a lot more dope stuff. He's like, we're colleagues now.
Aww.
I was like, Chris Rock, just call me a colleague. I was like, you know what? Yes, sir.
That's so cool.
And in my mind, I'm like, I'm so humble because I'm like, colleague, you're an idol. Yeah. I'll be honest, like, comedy still scared me, like, up until that point.
Yeah.
And even though, like, I've been doing this for 12 years now.
Yeah.
You know, that's still, like, I thought I was just doing it because of grace, and the grace was covering me. But, like, now I do it because, like, I know I'm purpose for it.
Yeah.
And that's a different feeling.
Yeah. And so I want to go back because you've brought up God.
Yes.
A bit, which I think is fantastic. And I think what you do with your platform, just the way you talk about it in general, is I think you're someone that millennials can also look to and be like, oh, this is how I can be, mm-hmm. you know, about God or be about faith. And so we're in this kind of like nasty world of comedy, but it could sometimes be like a little low down. How do you deal with the ignorance and the triflingness that might test you sometimes and still be like, you know, I'm gonna block that out? Because that has to be hard.
Well, for me, like, consistency has always been my consistency and authenticity. Like, mm-hmm. I started as a clean comic. Mm-hmm. I'm still a clean comic. And even, you know, along the way, like, people would be like, yo, I got a good tag for that joke. And it's like, if you say this and it's a F-bomb or it's a more dirty mm-hmm. twist to something, I'm like, ah, that is funny. Yeah. I just can't say it. It's not my brand. And it's so funny because Roy Wood Jr., I have a joke about cursing mm-hmm. in my set, but I don't curse. And so he said, do you know the genius that is you? He's like, you have a whole bit about cursing, and not once do you curse, but not once am I thrown off at the fact that you're not cursing.
Yeah. What I think is so commendable about you is, you know, you have all the success going on and you're, you know, we all follow you on Instagram and we just see how close you are with your family, which is great. And so, like, what does your family make of this? And also, because this is like a huge change and, like, you know, this isn't stuff that happens to everybody. So, like, what do they make about it? And, like, what was your household like growing up as a kid?
Oh, man. We had a very immigrant mm-hmm. upbringing, I would say.
You moved here when?
When in 1989 to University of Maryland. Yeah. No, we did not.
He moved to George Washington University.
1989 to the campus of the George Washington. No, we moved to Maryland.
Yeah.
My mother was a nurse at Howard University. I was thinking two thoughts at the same time. And I was just on the cusp of turning six. You know, my dad lived in Nigeria and would visit America. So he had this, like, I want to go back and forth mm-hmm. thing because I want to preserve your culture. And so...
That's awesome. That's really cool that he did that.
I mean, growing up, you think it's, like, super cool, but then you're like, oh, man, like, you watch your mom, like, work a lot, and you're like, yeah. Oh, man, that's hard.
That's true. Yeah, that's tough, like, yeah.
I definitely appreciate it because now we do go home every year, and mm-hmm. I have this, like, culture that's not, like, foreign to me, and not like, oh, yeah, like... My parents way back when were mm-hmm. from this place, but now I'm like, oh, no, I'm Nigerian. And, like, I know, like, the language. I love the foods. I do this. I do that. And that's because he made that choice. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, man, I wonder what would have been different also, like, with culturally and also, like, with us being here in America as well. But, like, my mom was very much like, don't answer the phone when I'm gone. Don't open the door for anybody. Like, it was just like, we couldn't call anybody by their first name. I remember I used to babysit. And I was like, yeah, I'm going over to Kelly's house. Who is Kelly? Joshua's mom. So she's now Kelly to you. A grown woman is Kelly. And I'm like, Miss Kelly? Like, I was like, Auntie Kelly? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. What do you want me to say? But it was like things like that, like, were part of our upbringing. My mm-hmm. mom, like, washing dishes was a big deal mm-hmm. because we didn't use our dishwasher because it was only a drying rack.
You had a dishwasher?
We had it, but it was only for show. It was for show, Phoebe. Like, we didn't, like, we're immigrants. We can't just use water willy-nilly.
I know, but I didn't even have a dishwasher. I was so jealous. We got it later, but initially, I'm so jealous.
Really? That's what I was the dishwasher in this story, Phoebe, is what I'm saying. We had a dishwasher. Her name was Yvonne, because my three older brothers were like, the youngest will do it.
Right, yeah.
And then the actual dishwasher was literally a drying rack. Because if my mom came home and saw, who is wasting electricity and using my water? I'm like, for the purpose of washing dishes.
Yeah. So you are developing your own show for you to star in called First Gen. That's executive produced by Oprah and David Oyelowo.
Yeah, ooh, you better get his name right.
Well, people,
you better get his name right.
The only reason I'm like such a name person sometimes is because people always get
your name wrong.
And I'm like, I have like the most generic sort of Pollyanna name. And then when people are like, all these different actors are coming out. I remember when Kevonjanae Wallace was interviewed and someone said, oh, I'm going to call you like
Q.
Yeah, or I'm going to call you Amy. And it's like, nah. No, learn her name.
Yeah.
So I just think like,
yeah, I think that's a like running joke. Like you can learn Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But Oyelowo? Oh yeah, low. Whoa.
Yeah. That's done. It. Done and done.
D. So yes.
So what's that experience been like so far?
I mean, we still need to sell it. By the grace of God, we will. So it's been crazy because it's like you have this idea and like people are obviously excited about it, mm-hmm. and then it's like, you can only go so far with it, right? And then it's like, who's going to take on this little engine that could?
Yeah. Do you want to tell us the premise?
Is about a Nigerian-American family, but it focuses on the daughter, Joanna, who drops out of med school to pursue a career in entertainment and the arts, which is very much against the wishes of her very immigrant parents. Mm-hmm. So how she navigates this dual identity, like a lot of us have to, of honor and respect mm-hmm. and gratefulness to the people who sacrificed so much for us to have an American dream, but then at the same time, like, living the American dream.
Yeah.
Like, part of the American dream is to take risks and to do things differently and to do things unorthodox. And I think I want to show the beauty and the heart and the love of being other, but at the same time, a little bit of the struggle and the challenge of deciding to do other.
Yeah. And so you just talked about your parents having one specific dream for you and you having one for yourself. How did you guys sort of like reconcile, like, this is like what I want, but I'm not like disrespecting your dream for me, but I want to follow my dream. Like, how did you guys get like on the same page about that?
I mean, Insecure happened.
Yeah. Like, HBO happened.
HBO cut us a check. No, I what's funny is I had to like, there came a point where I had to disassociate what I was doing with my parents' feelings about it. Because mm-hmm. if I kept looking at my parents' feelings about it, I would be depressed. Like, I'd be mm-hmm. like, man, I know I'm hurting them. Man, I know mom had another knee surgery. Like, I can't help. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when you're on a grind and doing something, you have to be selfish. Like, to a certain degree, you know, like it's like you care and you want to help, but like financially you can't help, you know, emotionally, like your help is not wanted, you know, like I'm passionate. And I remember when I thought like, okay, well, maybe I'll just put it on God. I'll put it on God again. And I was like, guys, God told me to do this. And I remember my dad was like, God. So is it only you who knows God? Like, it's just like, oh, this didn't work at all. This is like,
this backfired.
Like, so you don't think we were praying before you were born? I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to answer this. So I was like, I literally was like, oh, well, God, you know what? I'm going to have to just be okay with the fact that my relationship with my parents is going to be strained a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you fix it. And I think when the First Gen trailer came out and like people like saw the success, like the buzz around it, my mom was like, oh, my daughter can create. Okay, mm-hmm. this is good. But like, it wasn't until like Insecure and then like I'm like suddenly like bringing my mom to LA for spa days or spa weekends to celebrate her birthday, or, you know, come find her out here for the premiere, or like them seeing the like different deadline announcements and her friends calling her like, Celine, Yvonne is on television. No, I'm watching it with my daughters. And like her, you know, like that pride of being able to be like, oh my God, one of my children made it.
Yeah.
And it's such a visible way. Oh my God. But it's like she's getting a second life.
Yeah.
You know, like she's retired now, but now she's just like, I'm the mother of a celebrity. You know, like it's just really cute to watch her happy in this way, which is what was always the goal.
Yeah.
You know?
That's amazing. And so I love that you're doing, you want to have your show be about basically like an immigrant story, which I think is great, especially because right now, politically, mm-hmm. there's a lot of ugliness happening. I'm wondering, like, when you're creating this story, are you also thinking, like, this is a chance that I can reflect, like, the lives of immigrants that people don't recognize or don't even know about?
Yeah, because the thing about it, it's like, for me, it's like a love story to my parents because mm-hmm. it's a two-hander, right? When you see immigrant stories told by the kid's perspective, it's always like, I want to see how, like, this is what like life should be, mom and dad. You brought us to America. Deal with it. But for me, it's a two-hander. Like, you see it through the lens of the mother. It's like a mother and daughter story. Essentially, you don't know the behind the scenes of what goes on. Like, I remember when I got into GW, knowing that I could have gone to Howard for free. And because my mom worked there, and GW at the time was the most expensive college.
It's great. My brother 60,000 still has the debt. It's nuts.
$60,000 a year. And my mom didn't say, are you foolish? Y'all going to Howard. Why do you think I've been walking there all these years? My mom said, okay, okay. It's where you wanted to go. Well, if we have to sell the house or the car, we will figure it out.
Oh, my God. Mother of the freaking century. That's incredible.
And I was like, no, we're not doing that. I was like, I need a place to come home and do laundry. Like, what are you talking about?
Don't be that nice to me.
I was like, no. I'll just take out these loans. Yeah. I'll do work study. But, like, you know, I graduated with not a lot of debt because my mom worked literally her bones off. Like, that's why she had two knee surgeries. And so I think those are those moments where you're like, oh man, I like, my parents are dope. You know,
yeah,
and
of course.
And you need to be able to reflect. And also, like, I think with this show, like, I want to also normalize the African experience. Because when you think about Africa, it's so like, it's like mystified. It's like we're either like coming to America or, like I said, like Hotel Rwanda.
Right. And there's no complexity.
There's no in between. Like, oh my guys, we're entrepreneurs. I'm Igbo. They call us the Jews of the West because we are entrepreneurs. We're traders. Mm-hmm. We haggle. We are frugal. We are we travel and learn new languages. Like, so we encompass so many things. But like, if you only see us like Sally Struthers commercials, like, you're still thinking that you can still sponsor us for 60 cents a day.
Yeah, and it's also this, like, high-low where, like, you're above, and it's like, no, you're not above. We're all equals here. You don't know the full story.
I know Nigerians in Nigeria who have zero desire to come to America.
Yeah.
Because they have Bentleys there, too, guys. They have private jets there who are like, why would I go to America and experience racism? I was like, look around. Everyone here is black, like me, and we're all and successful. So again, why am I going to America where like people will like confuse me for a cab driver when I have 2 degrees?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and a doctorate.
Yeah. And so first gen, you're going to like shed light on the African experience. And then with Insecure, which I think has been great. And I think one of the reasons it's resonated with so many people, no matter their backgrounds, is that it's depicting, you know, the complexities of black people, but most importantly, black women. Because I think a lot of times when people talk about narratives, they just only kind of focus on like showing the layers of black men. And it's like, but black women are here too. Mm-hmm. And we stand beside black men. And we also have been the forefront of a lot of things as well. And so, do you think we're now in a time where people are really starting to truly accept the complexities of the black experience?
I think we're at a time where they have no other choice but to accept the complexities of the black experience. And that's also like even part of, you know, wanting to do the show that I'm trying to create, because it's like all black experiences are not created equal. Like, yes, Blackish exists, but like, low-key, I watch Blackish and I learn about black people every day. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that happened in black households. Yeah. What is Juneteenth?
Yeah.
And because that's not a thing that, like, I grew up as important in my household or, like, a thing that we knew to celebrate. And so I think you're absolutely right. Like, with a show like Insecure, it's like these two black girls, like, reading the script for Insecure, I was like, I don't have friends like this. But it's like, it's still a friendship. Like, it's like, it just looks differently. But it's like, they still love me the same. And Molly still loves Issa. And Issa still loves Molly the same. But it's just like a different experience. But I was like, I'm learning a different kind of black experience by being on this show. So you can't think like, especially if you're non-black or non-person of color, that you're like, oh, yeah, we've seen that. We get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't get it because we don't even get it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're so intricate and we're water. Yeah. We're an ocean. We just like, we get in where we fit in and we can encompass so many different spaces. So the minute you think you have us pegged, like, the levees have just like burst and now you have to figure out us all over again because you can't contain us.
Yeah.
We change every day. Have you seen Black Twitter? It's never the same.
Well, just congratulations on everything you accomplished so far.
Thank you.
The sky is the limit for you. And I can't wait to see.
You too.
Before we get out of here, what's something that you want to happen into your, in your life that hasn't happened yet? I want you to speak into existence now.
I want First Gen to be sold to a major network,
yes,
straight to series.
Yes.
Executive produced by me, co-written by me, and we get 100 episodes. We become one of the most viable sitcoms sold in major markets, China included.
Ooh, I love that you're thinking international. That's very, very
Absolutely.
Smart of you. Very, very smart of you.
Because it's a universal story.
Yes.
China, Asia, Africa, they're all going to want it.
Yeah, license it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is I believe that, but we're going straight to series. We're not doing like a pilot. Like, let's think about it. Straight to series, guys.
Yeah. Yep. All right, well, you guys heard it first. So all you network heads who are listening to this, don't waste her time sending her trash pilot offers, because she's going to fucking delete that email. So come back with a 2-season order, 13 episodes each,
turn up
with a quality craft services, okay?
It's going to be like Nigerian food catered every Friday. It's like, I hope you like goat meat. There's like an exec right there, like, the balls on that girl. And I'm like, yup, we're African. That's how, immigrants, we get the job done. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Ma. You've been nothing but a delight.
I appreciate you. You're amazing.
Bye, Q. Bye. Ooh, oh my gosh, what an incredible interview. I mean, where the hell is my EGOT for this?
I think you have to earn one.
Oh.
I think you have to either have a Tony, an Oscar, a Grammy, or an Emmy.
Well,
Can I say Emmy?
Well, I don't have any of those.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Let's just wrap this up.
I see. Okay, you know what? I'm working on my EGOTs, all right, guys?
Just start with an E or a G. Where's my O?
Okay, y'all, you know what time it is. It's time for a little nugget of joy, that little extra something to put a little pep in your step. It's your favorite segment and mine, Small Acts of Resistance.
Resist the system. Resist the man. Resist the dominant discourse imposed upon us by the establishment.
Small acts of resistance.
So this is really a small, small act of resistance, but I do feel like it flings energy out into the universe that will add up to something. But every time I pass Trump Tower, I give it the damn finger.
Ooh.
I give it the goddamn finger. Sometimes I give it two. Sometimes I give it a suck it. You know, a suck it gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes people around me honestly feel safe. And they're like, oh, yeah, I also feel this like nightmare looming.
Yeah. It's really quick. It takes, what, 10 seconds to do it? You stop.
Yeah.
Middle finger. And then you go get a latte.
Then you go call your freaking senator, your representative.
Oh, yeah. Also do that.
That too. I mean, you get a latte and then you have the latte to call.
Yeah. And that's your small act of resistance for the week, guys.
That's it.
Done. The So Many White Guys team includes me, Phoebe Robinson, Rachel Neal, Joanna Solitaroff, Jim Poyant, Paula Schumann, Jeremy Bloom, Isaac Jones, Matt Boynton, and Joe Ford. Our theme song was written by a white dude and sung by a bunch of other white dudes. Check out photos of me and Yvonne from our interview on the WNYC Studios Facebook. You can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dope Queen Phoebes. Bye, Q, bye.
I'm going to text you a photo of Bean right now.
Okay, you guys, I need to understand this Bean hysteria.
It is Bean mania.
It's Bean mania.
Okay, here we go. I'm sending you a Fox Sports link.
Oh my. The fact that this is reported on Fox Sports is truly nuts. Sorry, there's an ad playing on Fox Sports.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was a photo.
20 seconds of Boost Mobile's bullshit to get to Bean.
It's going to be worth it.
Oh my God, Bean is so cute.
I told you.
Holy fuck.